is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Anthony Brooks. The little brown bat will vanish from the northeastern United States within 16 years. That's according to research by Boston University professor Thomas Kuntz and his graduate students. Bats of all kinds are dying in astounding numbers from a fungal disease called white nose syndrome.
Bats are crucial to cave ecosystems and for human health as well, because they eat so many bugs. This week, Professor Kuntz unveiled research suggesting that bats save American farmers billions of dollars on pesticides. He's hoping that will make the public stand up and take notice of the crisis.
I'll just sit here, you sit over there, and we can do it that way. How's that?
Yeah.
The walls inside the professor's office on Cummington Street are covered in bat statues, bat stuffed animals, bat paintings.
Is that a little brown bat over there?
Yeah, those are New England bats, all those up there.
And while he definitely projects the part of objective scientist, a palpable sadness grips Professor Kuntz's voice whenever he talks about his bats.
He's a cute little guy.
Yeah.
How close would we find any of these guys around us right now?
This particular species here, called the big brown bat, actually probably you could find in some of these buildings here on campus.
Really?
But all the smaller species, you'd have to go outside to probably 128. Yeah. They're not really urban bats. Okay, so white nose syndrome is a newly discovered disease. We attribute this to the fungus that has invaded North America. It's well known that this fungus is present in caves and on bats in Europe. Doesn't seem to affect those bats. In other words, they're not dying from it. Our first evidence that it occurred in the United States was in 2006. A caver actually observed bats that had this fungus. It's a white fungus that grows on the nose and the wings and the ears and so on, and all bats that have been dying basically in the Northeast in the last several years have had this fungus. Bats are very susceptible to any kind of infection when they're hibernating, and one hypothesis is that these bats are irritated, even though they're hibernating, by this fungus. It causes them to arouse, and every time a bat arouses during hibernation, whether it's a natural arousal or a stimulated arousal, causes a depletion of fat reserves. Normally, hibernating animals will arouse naturally every, say, 15 to 20 or 30 days during winter. Bats that have the fungus on them arouse every 4 to 5 days. So those frequent arousals basically result in the bats running out of fat in midwinter, and they simply die.
How do we think that the fungus made its way to North America?
Well, our working hypothesis is that it was transmitted by people. Some cavers, or probably just visitors who might have visited caves in Europe, came to the United States, came to this particular cave. And it's a commercial cave called Howe's Cave in upstate New York. This fungus most likely was transmitted and brought just on the shoes or clothing or whatever, and these bats in North America had never been exposed to this before, and so it's like a lot of diseases. Animals evolve resistance to diseases. These guys haven't had the chance to do that, and so it hit them pretty hard.
It started in New York. It then spread up into New England. How extensive is it?
Well, right now the fungus has spread into 3 Canadian provinces, into Quebec, Ontario, and New Brunswick. It's spread south to North Carolina and west to Oklahoma in 4.5 years.
Do we know how many bats it's killed?
Our best guesstimate right now, and I say guesstimate, is over 1 million bats just in New York and New England. Where we've observed the mortality, it is caused about an average 70% mortality.
70%?
70%, yeah.
So there's got to be just caves that are filled with dead bats.
Oh, there are. The floors of caves. I could show you pictures of floors of caves that you can't walk on the cave floor without walking on dead bats. It's the most precipitous decline of any wildlife in North America in recorded history.
So you've been kind of running around tearing your hair out saying that this is a crisis for a couple of years now. And people have been paying attention to you in the last couple of days in particular because you ran some numbers about the impact that bats have on the agricultural industry. Tell us about that.
We did. Bats have never had great press. I mean, they're often, you know, considered ugly and vile and disease-ridden and all this sort of thing. And,
well, these guys are cute because they look like mice.
Well, they are cute. There's a German name for bats called Fledermaus. You know, it's a flying mouse. They're not really even related to mice. But anyway, knowing that bats can eat anywhere between half their body weight to their entire body weight a night in insects during the warm season. And if you extrapolate that, you know, you have a range of how many insects bats would have eaten. Of those million bats would have eaten in 1 year about 630 metric tons of insects.
That's a lot of bugs.
That's a lot of bugs. That's the minimum. The high end goes up to about 1260 metric tons.
Wow.
So we took those numbers and extrapolated what we know, how much pesticide use it would take actually to replace those bats. And the value of bats to agriculture ranges from about $3.7 billion to $53 billion a year in money they would have to spend on pesticides to keep agriculture production at a level that is acceptable.
So that's the kind of number that gets people's attention.
Well, we hope it does. We hope it gets the attention of the average person, that they don't really consider bats as evil and vile as they often are, incorrectly or inappropriately. But also, more importantly, the message needs to get out to the agricultural industry and to decision makers about funding levels to support the kind of research that's needed to mitigate, for example, losses that we're seeing from white nose syndrome. I mean, the amount of money that has been appropriated has been just minimal. We're talking about 23 states now that which the fungus exists. Last year, there was $1.9 million that was made available for
in federal appropriations,
for research and management. I mean, little money has gone into actual research.
How close are you to coming up with a solution?
Well, we are not going to have a solution until we have enough funds to actually address these questions. There are efforts being made to develop or to test different kinds of chemical compounds that you could treat a bat with, a fungicide of some sort. The biggest problem with that is to apply it somehow. You'd have to inject bats, you know, once or twice. You can't go in and spray a fungicide inside of a cave because you'd likely kill off other things as well, fish and salamanders and...
Professor Kuntz, I'm looking around your office and you have more bat memorabilia from around the world than I think probably anyone has. I know people call you Batman. You've been obsessed with bats for a long time. Has this been a personally difficult few years for you?
It has. I started studying bats 45 years ago, and it's been my passion. And a lot of my work has been done in New Hampshire. There's a barn there that used to have over 1,000 bats during the warm months. There are none there now. They're all gone. Many of the bats that I had banded there, as well as other places in southern New Hampshire, were found only the bands on bones in a hibernating site in Vermont. And to pick up a little bone with a band around the forearm of the bat hit me very hard. It really just, you get not personally attached to any one bat, but you get personally attached to the biology of these particular animals where you've been studying them. And so it was pretty devastating, and it still is. I mean, I've come to the realization that the only way we're going to solve this problem is to try to get more research done, to try to encourage more people to support the kind of research that's needed to do this. And from there, hopefully we can solve the problem.
Well, Professor, good luck and Godspeed.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Professor Thomas Kuntz directs the Kuntz Bat Lab at Boston University.
Adam, that is such a sad story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a total catastrophe for an entire species. Well, we've got something to lift your spirits when we after we take a break. Remember that guy Kilroy, the guy who was here? Well, he was, literally. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.